painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with today's Artbeat.
On this episode of Artbeat, we visit with an individual who quit his job to move across an ocean to pursue a dream.
I wrote my resignation letter, said I'm moving to Hawaii, I'm going to become a furniture maker. I just went there with a little bit of money and time. No real commitments, and I just sought out people doing this work and met my mentor.
This furniture maker shares with us his journey in creating studio-grade pieces for the home, lessons in working with wood, and his creative process. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you're listening to Artbeat.
Today we have an individual with us who's really great at taking wood, turning it into beautiful pieces of art that are actually functional too, right? And you've done the Art of Fine Furniture a couple of times.
Yeah, that's a show that I started here in Winona originally.
And you're Jamie Schell.
Yep.
How long have you been working with wood and why?
I started construction at a very young age.
Okay.
In my summer job at 15, all the way through high school.
That's early.
That's what I did, was built houses. And so I guess that would be the beginning of my, besides the little loon in art class and stuff. So I did construction and then kind of went away from that in my 20s. And then right at the age of 30, I moved to Hawaii. With the intention, I was in a corporate job, and my resignation said, I'm moving to Hawaii to become a furniture maker. Kind of the backstory of that, and I had been in Hawaii on vacation, and I saw people making what I do, studio furniture. Studio furniture meaning it's basically built in like an art studio, so they're one-of-a-kind pieces. It's not a big production shop. I'm not making, you know, two of what I do, much less 100 of what I do.
Right.
So I'm making a piece. It's very art-inspired. It ebbs and flows as I'm building it. It changes, it morphs, and becomes what it becomes in the end. So it fits more into the art world than maybe the furniture world quite often. But they are functional pieces. They do have function. But they can also be, they can stand alone as art. So when I saw these, the name of the business that I first saw, the sign on his door said functional art. So I went in and looked at the place, and I'm like, wow, this speaks to me. This is something I can do. I can make these things that are, you know, sculptural, unique, one of a kind, not production style pieces. I had been doing production in machining, metalworking, before that. And I thought, boy, I really want to get away. I want to be able to create really unique things. So I just fell in love with it and thought, this is something I can do. So I wrote my resignation letter, said I'm moving to Hawaii, I'm going to become a furniture maker. I just went there with, a little bit of money and time, no real commitments. And I just sought out people doing this work and met my mentor. His name's Leonard Gittrow. And worked with Leonard for 3 years in basically an apprenticeship type situation, and learned what he did, and just was really fortunate. I was there 7 years in Hawaii.
That's wild.
Yeah, and he just opened up that whole world to me and welcomed me in and gave me opportunities, and eventually we became partners in a business together. So built a little bit bigger, a little nicer shop, took on a little bit bigger, more just intense projects, and so I spent my time until kind of got the family draw back to Minnesota. My wife is from here, and we had our child out there in Hawaii, and just kind of got the pull back to here. So it was interesting coming back to Winona, where I was in Hawaii. There was a market for this type of furniture, and I felt coming to Winona, I kind of came with a lot of fear of, boy, am I going to be able to continue doing this thing that I love so much? And kind of set off with the idea. Probably initially it came to me when I saw the CMAC, Southeast Minnesota Arts Council grant for established artists. And I thought, well, I'm going to write one of those grants and basically build a piece that it fully inspired, not somebody telling me I need this to fit here. And,
right.
And which is what I think a lot of people were used to here. They would say, I need this thing built to fit into this hole. So I built that piece, and along with that, I had to have a capstone event. And that capstone event, I came up with the idea of the Artifine Furniture. And
The Winona County History Center is where you first did it.
Yeah, that's correct. They're just a great partner for it. So they had the space, they had resources, everything we need. Mark and Jennifer said, yeah, let's do this. It sounds wonderful. So I felt funny about a capstone event that would be just me at that time here. And I thought, I need to create this thing that brings awareness to this type of art to help, you know, just the awareness of it, one, but educate people of what it really is and, you know, why it can be important to them. You know, it's all the way from, of course, just appreciating the art and the craftsmanship in it, but also knowing that this thing of furniture and wood is something we're all really used to, but the people aren't used to it being made to a really nice level and to be really aesthetically pleasing and be have a lot more like spiritual meaning behind it and inspiration in it versus we got used to buying these IKEA style things. You know, they look okay, but 5 years from now they fall over. So it was kind of a whole education process, and I felt, well, this whole thing, this Artifine Furniture, is a way to get people kind of reawakened almost to what it is I want to do for a living. So it's just been this building process of making it.
And when you talk about one-of-a-kind pieces, I mean, it would be, since you're working with art, hard to replicate something.
Sure.
At the scale. I mean, because we're talking like a large piece of furniture.
It can be, absolutely. You know, dining tables or, you know, that it can have that function. I often say, people say, well, boy, I really liked that piece you made. Would you make me one of those? And I say, well, I don't think it's possible to make another one just like that. For one, because the grain of the wood, the inspiration I get from the wood, they're completely unique. It's like a snowflake. You might get something similar that looks, a piece of wood that looks like that, or kind of the same species, but it never will look the same. And in this type of furniture making, you're really inspired by the directions of the grain. And what you see in the grain can influence the shape of the piece even. So to build another piece to look just like it, just it isn't anything that I feel I can ever do.
So if somebody were to like commission something from you, they'd have to be able to be very open to how it would go.
And some trust.
Yeah.
You know, definitely there has to be trust, and that's, you know, that's part of building. Just over time, over the years now, people I think have become to trust me, give me a lot more of that artistic license to, you know, and of course I still get a lot of, quite a few commissions that are like, you know, it is a dining table, it needs to fit in this space, it can't just be whatever size you want it, which is perfectly fine. But yeah, not to replicate it and to allow me into the space to get a feel for it, be inspired by the space, and then also go work with the materials and build something that I think really works there. And I think most people are quite happy.
Since you are working with natural materials, I mean, I'm sure there's a process where you sketch it out, you have a rough idea, but then you have to go and select the wood.
Yeah.
So can you kind of give us an idea how you go from start to finish?
Sure. So I'll just kind of a generic way that I go through this process is typically starts with a two-dimensional sketch of what I think is the very prominent view that holds most of the elements of the piece. I think that, you know, what people are going to see and what's going to kind of give that initial feeling about how they feel about it. So I arrive at those basic ideas, proportions, forms, shapes, sizes. Then it would go to, hopefully I have material in my collection quite often. That's what I really enjoy, is if I have pieces that inspire me. And I guess maybe to go back some, quite often when I'm building speculative pieces that are just of me and I put them out to the world and hopefully somebody likes them and buys them, I often pull out just big pieces of wood and I'll sit and look at them, lay them, move them around, spin, and sometimes they speak to you, sometimes they don't, and they go back into the pile, or you just get really excited and inspired and start building. With client commission pieces, quite often I have to go through a process where I'm drawing the piece, like I was saying, start with that two-dimensional view. But then it really goes into the materials, and I spend a lot of time with clients and materials. Quite often my furniture will have veneer work in it, so I'm taking veneers, putting them together to create certain design elements and shapes and forms, or just sometimes I'm looking for the straightest, you know, just simple, really calm pieces of wood. Other times it's a lot of, you know, crazy curl and figure in the wood, you know. It just depends on the feeling of the piece, where it's going to go, the person it's going to. Some people like a lot of electricity in the piece, and others like them just, you know, very, lack of a different word, zen, calm type pieces. You know, it depends on the feeling you're trying to create. So we'll work with veneers. And what's interesting about veneer is it allows me that ability to really achieve the feeling that I want in the piece more easily, because I'm able to look through veneer suppliers. They have photos of the veneers that they have available. So you get to see these grains, and then just through working with it, you know what happens when you put them together in different, what they call matches, you know, the way the edges and ends go together to create different forms and patterns. So it's just going through that whole process. And then it's a matter of, you know, the craftsmanship aspect of it comes in. It's the joinery, you know, figuring out how do things go together to stay together for a very long time. Yeah, then all the way down to the little details of the finishing, which I think people who do woodworking find that the finishing in those edge, the edge work that they do, is the hardest thing for most people. And a lot of people don't think that. They see like the big
task.
The big boulder is like getting this whole thing three-dimensional and making it and getting it up. It's the subtleties of how you work edges and how you soften and what you keep sharp, what you round over, and the shapes that I think people who do it realize it's really hard, but I think it's the end user who quite often doesn't realize that. It's those subtle little finishing details that really make a piece really, really work.
Literally like the icing on a cake.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. Yep.
Because that's the last thing that they see.
Yeah. Well, it's the feel, you know.
Yeah.
I think if more often enough people think about how they react to a really nice piece of furniture, immediately they walk up and touch it. Their hand goes to it and they feel an edge, you know, and just watch people just rub it. It's a natural reaction for humans to do with wood. You know, we're very drawn to that, to wood as a material, because we've made our furnishings, our homes, you know, everything. Wood has been a material that's built this country and many other countries.
So. Well, it grounds you too. You know, sure, what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's like you bring part of the outside inside. And
sure. Yep.
Yeah. So there is a personal thing to that. What are some of the biggest challenges in working with wood? I mean, obviously, like if there's a knot in some place, then you got to work around that.
Yeah. Or selecting those things out or in, depending on the piece. You know, sometimes those are the things you want. But I think the hardest thing about working with wood, and lessons that I've learned a lot moving back to Minnesota doing this, or things I've had to be very aware of, is climate. Wood is just very movable. I mean, it's alive. It expands.
And contracts.
Expands with heat or moisture, and it contracts with dry, you know, cool air. Everything contracts. So understanding that that's going to happen and knowing how the piece has to go together and just, you know, how the littlest details, you know, like the fitting of certain joints. If they're sloppy tenons internally, over time, they will fail more, whereas if they're just really well made, really tight, I think the longevity of the piece, and that longevity is so important to honoring a piece, you know. I mean, it's like, you know, modern furniture, you might look good when you kind of are a little ways from it and the forms, you know, are designed nicely and pleasing, but really not doing it, you're not using nice materials, you're not, what you're putting it together and how it's together, you know, it just falls apart over time. And that, to me, that's a really sad, just a sad thing, but understandable from an economic standpoint. You know, I'm a shoemaker with holes in his shoes, basically, you know, as that saying goes, I don't have a lot of my furniture in my home. So
well, it would take up a lot of space, Jamie.
but I do need furniture. Yeah. I do have furniture, and it's not necessarily to the level that I would like, but it is. It's nice to have a piece when you know that it's built really well and just feels good. And I think that's something people can get behind. My partner used to talk about the fact that people would go out and spend $50,000 on a vehicle that in 5 years was worth almost nothing.
Right.
Whereas a furniture piece that you know, you might spend $10,000 on a dining table or more or whatever. And 100 years from now, your children's children are using it if it's built right.
Heirloom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's just getting people to think differently about what's really valuable and what's important.
Where do you get your wood from? I mean, obviously what you had in Hawaii access to is different than what you have access to here in Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, I get asked that question a lot. an awful lot. And, you know, I don't have a go-to source for everything. Right. It's just because I think everything is just changes. I hear about wood. People will contact me, either whether they're other furniture makers or hobbyists that see something. They're like, boy, I saw this wood, some so-and-so or this place has. You might be interested. Surprisingly, I've had some really wonderful wood gifted to me since I've been here, which is just amazing that people would do that. But some people have seen things or they have these woods and they're like, boy, I just, you know, don't have the time. They just feel like they wouldn't do something with it that honors it, and they'd like to see it made into something really cool. I had a gentleman walk in and give me these three maple boards, big, thick, nice, wide, really curly figured wood, you know, and I was blown away that he's like, you know, I just want you to make something nice out of it. So it was fun. I got asked to make a piece for the Rochester Boys and Girls Club for their auction raise, and I thought what better to do is to give a piece that the wood was given to me and just kind of perpetuate that. And it was just kind of a neat thing that happens, that chain of events from him walking in saying, make something out of this wood, and it did well in their auction. And yeah, it was a fun, kind of a fun process to be able to do that. It's interesting. It's all over. And like the veneers, there's suppliers around the country that, you know, you go on and look and figure out what you want to do and buy. But there's suppliers in Minneapolis. There's local sawmills that, you know, sometimes have the wood that I'm looking for. And yeah, it's just kind of...
Got to call around if you're looking for something specific, probably.
You do, yeah. And ask around. And a lot of times other furniture makers, you know, we're calling each other and they're like, yeah, I do. I have this that will work for you, or that's really nice, or... And vice versa. You send them things when they're in need of them and for projects. And so, yeah, it's really all over. It's an interesting question. I get asked it an awful lot, but I don't have an answer that I go to ABC Lumber Company and they have what I need. So
this is a large art form, and you recently built a studio space, yes. Correct?
Yes, I just finished it a week ago.
So where were you working before?
I had a space that I had rented in the east end of Winona, just a commercial building that I had rented a shop space in, and had been, you know, always planned to have my shop at home. For what I do, it works really well to have it right at my house, because, again, it's been having this discussion lately. You know, as an artist, it's not a 9-to-5 job.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's a 24-hour day thing, really, because your inspiration comes when inspiration comes. And it's nice to have it at home to where I'm able to just respond to that. You know, just like, oh, yeah,
Let me just go walk out there and take care of this now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, I think it's really important to be involved in the community through the arts and serving on different either boards or organizations, you know, like Family Art Day stuff and the River Arts Alliance and, you know, Visit Winona. I'm a board member for that. And those are really important things to me as well. So having my shop at home allows me, I just leave, I can come back, I can go out after dinner and work whenever I want in that sense. So it's really great to finally have my shop at home when it was not by my home. Those things in the evening didn't happen. And
as much, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it just kind of, yeah, just didn't feel like it worked with the flow that I really needed it to. But
are you doing this full time?
I am, yes.
Okay, wow, that's a dream for a lot of people to be able to do that.
Yeah, and we haven't talked about, but I also do sculpture.
Okay.
So I do these, I've always described them as two different parts of my brain. The furniture is very, really meticulous and very long processes, you know, I mean, month, 2 months, 3 months on a piece of furniture sometimes. So, and it's like every little detail is being attended to, and it's like hyper-focused work and to pull it off and to do it right. The sculpture, I've always, the style I do, I call it sculpture. There are a lot of, quite often, not always wall-hung pieces, but they're relief. They're very dimensional and textural and colors, paints with them. Often they're wood, they're carved, but then covered with paint too. I guess wood is a familiar material to me. It's malleable. I can shape it, sculpt it, and do it. But then I bring in these quite often more earth elements, you know, like look like stone, look like using sand and paints and using paints like iron and paint to corrode them and copper or brass and patinaing those to create these things, but I'll make big palettes of these different effects that I come up with and then cut those apart and put them together to create these sculptural pieces so that you're getting depths and textures and colors. But it feels to me like it isn't that super meticulous work where the joinery has to go together. It's really just like slapping Jackson Pollock paint on a board and then being inspired by of a 2-foot by 2-foot panel being inspired by a 6-inch by 6-inch section of it, cutting that out and putting that into something else with another material. I don't know. I think it's finding that balance. Currently, I'm writing another grant, and the idea on this grant, it's an established artist grant, which is through CMAC again, and I want to put these two together. So I want to have furniture. I want to create a furniture piece that has some of this sculpture.
That would be great.
Yeah, so I'm excited about it. It's something I've thought about, and I think of it as a way of creating balance. Like I said, I've had these two different parts, two different disciplines or ways of creating. One is just really free form, more, and one's really meticulous. Why not find a balance where I can have both of them in a single project?
I think you're going to be spending a lot of time on that project, Jamie.
I probably will, but I guess that's what's wonderful about Minnesota and these grant opportunities through, you know, the legacy funds and the amount of money they put into the arts.
Yeah.
Is really amazing. And I know Winona has, I mean,
we've really soaked that up.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man. We grabbed onto that.
We really have. I mean, from individual artists to organizations, you know, CMAC, Southeast Minnesota Arts Council grants have just been huge. I mean, every group in town is using those and thriving because of them. It's hard. Art is not...
That's not the easy path.
It is not the easy path. not in the least.
Have a couple brave souls that do it full time. Yeah. Way to go. Is it hard to let go of a piece when you create it since it is so one of a kind?
You know, I really haven't... You know, I have some of my work in my home, but I don't know that it's hard to let go of. Commissions are definitely not hard more often than not. You go into it with that sole intention that I'm building this for somebody. They are funding it, the process for me, which is what's exciting to me is the creative part. I don't like to say that they're necessarily buying it. They're funding
right.
the process, and they get the piece in the end. So commissions, no. Pieces that I build for spec, I feel I have a lot more connection with. But then the process of putting them out into the world, letting people look at it, you know, having conversation with people about the piece, and that's just really exciting to me. You know, I'm extroverted in that sense that I really enjoy that part, and you know, having people tell me how they feel about it and all that. And when somebody really feels moved to buy it, to me that feels really good. So I'm actually like, great. I'm, you know, that was my intention, that it would create a really good emotion and feeling for somebody. So it isn't as hard as some people might think.
You've got some stuff coming up in the spring, yeah. Right? May, April time?
Yeah, May, Red Horse Gallery show over in Fountain City is on the plans right now to be in it. That will be sculpture, my sculptural, that type of artwork. And then the end of April also, so right in that same time zone, is a show in Minneapolis called Northern Woods Exhibit. This will be its 33rd year, I believe, that show. It's Minnesota Woodworkers Guild. It's their annual show. So it's professionals, hobbyists from around Minnesota that are members of the guild have a show. It's usually 50 to 70 pieces of furniture. And it happens at the Eden Prairie Center. It's like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday show, the last weekend of April every year. It's a really, really great show. I mean, people enjoy it. It's more pieces, a little bit different range than maybe the Artifine Furniture Show, which happens here in Winona, and we just established the dates yesterday.
That's sweet.
For that show. So if people like that show, which is June 18th to August 5th this year, it's going to be at the Winona County History Center. That's kind of the show, I don't want to say, you know, just some of the more refined and I'd say better, I don't want to say better pieces, but the pieces in the show that in the cities, a number of those end up in the Artifine Furniture if they aren't sold, or as well as other artists from around end up on the Art of Fine Furniture. But they're both just really cool shows to go see and check out what people are creating. It amazes me. The studio furniture thing opens up so many different elements and designs that can happen in these pieces, and, you know, more whimsical, and it's just not so refined by standard utilitarian furniture. And so it's just really amazing. You open up a drawer and there's a, you know, mother of pearl dragonfly inside a drawer, you know, carved into it, or just all these
sweet,
wonderful things, you know.
Awesome. So, if people want to find out more information about you, see your work, mm-hmm. how would they do that?
Probably one of the best, you know, easiest ways in this day and age is website, which is www.jamieschell.com, and Schell's S-C-H-E-L-L. And I guess I should do J-A-M-I-E-S-C-H-E-L-L. That's a very good way. The other is contacting me to discuss pieces and talk about things. I'm always open to that. Visit Winona Guide. I'm in there. So my information is listed there as well. The Art of Fine Furniture, you can seek out that website, get information through there. Yeah, there's a number of probably good ways to get a hold of me. As far as galleries, right now, I don't have any pieces with my about last 8 months of building my shop and doing
right, work. That takes some time.
It took a lot of time.
Yeah.
And yeah, so inventories are low, so I'm entering my very inspired and excited to get back to work.
Artistic period. Here we go. 2016.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thanks for taking time to talk to us.
You bet.
Thanks again to Jamie Schell for visiting with us on ArtBeat. More information on Jamie and the fine art of furniture can be found at www.jamieschell.com. I'm Terry Tensett, thanking you for listening to ArtBeat.
ArtBeat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.